And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the RBLR Bucks podcast, one of the hottest Buccaneers podcasts on the planet. I'm your co-host, Musab. And let me tell you, we're diving headfirst into the madness that was this past Sunday. Another emotional roller coaster. Unfortunately, not a win, a gut punch in the loss column. But hey, that's the life of a Bucks fan, right? You know, we ride the highs, we ride the lows, and we break it all down together. So, yeah, look, we got the good, the bad, and, yeah, the ugly, but we're not stopping there. You know, we got some choppy waters ahead as your Buccaneers sail into Seattle to take on the Seahawks. So strap in, because we're going to cover it all, but also keep it real. And listen, before we get rolling, don't forget we want to hear from you, whether you're tuning in on YouTube, X, Instagram, Live, Facebook Live. Drop your thoughts, your takes, your fire. We're open ears all year long, all the time. And seriously, your insight makes what this community. So quick shout out, of course, to the rest of our RBLR crew, you know, covering our legendary Tampa Bay teams like the Rowdies, the Rays, the Lightning, the Sun. And yes, now even our USF Bulls, who are looking pretty darn good this season. They actually got a fun matchup this Friday. So keep an eye on that, too. But enough from me. All right. It's time to introduce my co-host tonight. Word on the street is that they call him the voice of reason, the football mind that breaks it down like a blitz on third and long. None other than the one and only Mr. Carter Brantley. What's a good word, man? How are you?
Nothing much, man. We just, we just haven't spoken in so long, Musab. I feel like we're just, you know, we haven't seen each other in so long. No, I'm just kidding. We just recorded the USF show earlier today. But yeah, I'm doing well, doing well. Obviously, the Bucks loss was a, it was a bummer this past weekend. I know we all predicted them to get the brakes beat off of them, and luckily they made it close, but it's still a bummer to watch them lose, even when we kind of expect it. And it's not, you know, an ultimate, you know, oh, the season's over or anything like that. It's very much a, oh, hey, it's a tough game against a tough opponent, and they were banged up going in, so stuff happens. But there's still some positives. You know, I feel like we need to try to take some positive away from this game, because, you know, there's a lot of silliness involved in this game. Like, and we'll get to that. We'll get to the negatives, but first we'll focus on the positives, because it's harder to take positives away from a loss than it is to, you know, take negatives. So I'll throw something out there. Bucky Irving, 160 plus scrimmage yards. He's on at least two of my fantasy teams. God bless him. He had an outstanding game. Obviously the fumble was tough, and even the fumble was a bit questionable. You know, there was a little bit of a weird brouhaha around that call. But Bucky had a great game other than the fumble, which, again, might not have really been that big of a deal. So Bucky had a great game. And Chris Godwin, Tristan Wirfs, they were back, and they looked pretty good. You know, obviously they're not 100% yet. They're not going to be playing full tilt, especially Godwin. I'd imagine that he's on a snap count. But, you know, there were still some positive things to take away from this game. Musab, anything else that the Bucks did that you were like, hey, you know, shout out to them?
First of all, I mean, shout out to Godwin. I mean, it was real nice seeing him come back and, you know, being part of some, you know, crucial plays. Seeing Wirfs back was also a blessing. But, you know, the three big things is, you know, as ugly as the first half was, things changed a lot in the second half. Explosive big plays, you know, by Baker and Ikubuka and Bucky Irving. On top of that, you know, I want to also shout out our defense. You know, they just kind of changed it up. I mean, yeah, they held, you know, Philadelphia to zero completions. So, you know, that was also big. But I just got to say, I mean, just bigger picture, just the resilience that the Buccaneers had. Of course, coming back, but I mean, you would see it even from Baker Mayfield, you know, he just kept on fighting for that first down. Same thing with Bucky Irving. I mean, I'm telling you, man, that shiftiness, it helps him big time. You know what I'm saying? So just when you thought, you know, he's about to go down, gets a couple yards. So I think that was the big takeaway, was, you know, seeing that we're still able to kind of put up a good fight. And you know, sometimes, Carter, I feel like it hurts sometimes knowing that, you know, it's one thing to kind of, you know, get ran over and be like, yeah, you know what, they're a much better team. You know, we just played bad. But, you know, looking back at it, you're like, oh, man, I if only we played, you know, in the first half like we played in the second half. But it is what it is. That's the game of football.
Yeah, man, can't win them all. Going 4-0 to start the season, that would have been – some crazy stuff, but obviously it was realistic and it was there. I think that's the encouraging part, is that despite the fact that, you know, they're missing two of their starting wideouts, they're missing two of their starting offensive linemen, and they were missing, you know, Jamel Dean, and Benjamin Morrison got hurt towards the end of the game. Despite all of that, Kalijah Kansey's done. They were still able to manage to keep it close, and the defense, my goodness. Yeah, they really turned it up in the second half after a bit of, you know, 14 points in one half, because one of the touchdowns they gave up was off of the, you know, off of the blocked punt. So that wasn't the defense, but 14 points in one half, not great, but at the same time, they buckled down. They really got it done. So it was impressive to see. And yeah. And then you gave a good shout out to Ibuka. I mean, my goodness, him and Baker. I want to throw this question to you, because this was kind of popped in my head, like, Baker and Ibuka might be the best combination in football right now. Like, Ibuka's playing like a top five wide receiver, you know, like, this is an impressive combination. So in your mind, is Ibuka like getting offensive rookie of the year consideration at this point?
Oof. I want to give that a little bit more time to kind of, you know, see what else he's got. But no, I have to say though, no, dude, this chemistry between Baker and Ibuka it's honestly very surprising to see how much it's kind of just taken off. I mean, you know, to think when we drafted this guy that he would be such an important, you know, key player on our offense, I would have never thought that, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah. You know, just a shout out to both of them. I mean, but that pass to him for that deep ball. Oh my gosh. Woo. What did they say? Like threading the needle. Lovely. So
yeah. Yeah, those tight windows, man, when Baker can squeeze him in there, it's really cool to watch. Unfortunately, he also threw that pass that didn't quite fit in there, but that's going to happen. You know, the turnover bug is going to bite every quarterback, every offense in the NFL. It's impossible to play, you know, completely perfect football for a whole season. And that's not the reason they lost. You know, the reason they lost was, you know, the defense struggled a little bit and in the beginning, and the special teams was atrocious, which brings us to our negatives, which it's easy to pick on it, but it's because sometimes the easy to pick on thing is the obvious thing because it's right. Like, the special teams play so far this season has been atrocious, you know, getting a field goal blocked, getting a punt blocked in consecutive weeks. Like, it's brutal, you know, and having two special teams touchdowns given up by this Bucs special teams group can't happen. They got away with it because they were playing lesser opponents, but they ran into an actual football team, and yeah, they're going to lose those games. And that was the reason they lost. Like, straight up, like, that blocked punt was not only, it was just such a momentum builder for the Eagles. Like, it seemed like it really galvanized that team, and it just can't happen. And Dixon also shanked another punt that got like 21 yard shank, but it got bailed out by a hold on the Eagles. So he just looked awful, and they're bringing in punters to try out, understandably so, but it might be the special teams coach might need to start updating his resume, because it's been ugly. It's been awful. The kickoff coverage has been bad. You know, Chase McLaughlin got off to a rough start. So, the special teams play needs to be fixed. If they want to win this division, that has to be something that changes, because we've seen it in the past. Like, there was that Charger season where they had like the number one ranked defense and the number one ranked offense, but the dead last in special teams play. So they missed the playoffs. And like, that was just crazy to watch, but it happens, you know? So yeah. Any other negatives or any more thoughts on the special teams play we saw from this game?
Oh, I mean, yeah, special teams was just atrocious, especially. Yeah. I mean, that punt block touchdown. I mean, that just, as you said, I mean, it's a huge momentum booster for the Eagles. I mean, they already know they're coming in hot. They're the Super Bowl champs. Now they're coming into our town, and boom, as soon as the game starts, a punt block touchdown. So it affects, you know, as a Buccaneers player too, it affects you mentally. Like, wow, that's just, you know, we just got smacked in the mouth. So,
right.
I don't know. I mean, you know, it was a little bit up and down from what I have to say. There was just a couple of things I felt like, you know, one big thing was, now that I'm thinking about it, was the difference between, you know, Tristan Wirfs on one side, and then you had what, like Charlie Heck and Luke Haggard on the other. Now it's not like it was something super easy to, you know, kind of, you know, find or anything, but, you know, you watch tape and you watch the highlights again and all that, and you can see the difference, between each side. That's just one example, but, I don't want to even pick on the guy, but I hate to say, like, Servasio Dennis, he's still not making me, you know, proud, or I feel like it's not kind of, he's not really making that step forward. I mean, it's not like he played absolute, you know, like dog crap either, but one play, for example, I've seen some people kind of go back and forth, was just that easy run that Jalen Hurts had, you know, just when you thought that he was about to go down. I'm forgetting when it was, but I feel like, you know, you can remember. And then instead of, you know, Servasi and Dennis going for that, he kind of backs up thinking it might be a toss to Barkley. But I don't know, just those kind of things. He's not the guy, you know, you put in coverage. It's the exact same thing. You know what? Look, it's the exact same thing that happened with Bucky Irving's touchdown, man. Bucky Irving with Jahad Campbell on Bucky Irving. Give me that any day of the week. So it's like the same thing. You know, you got Servasi and Dennis out here, you know, chasing A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith. You know, what do you expect? So,
yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Dennis has been like legitimately one of the worst coverage linebackers in the sport so far. So that's been tough to see, you know, and this was a problem last season and they thought, oh, Dennis could maybe solve this issue. Unfortunately not. And it's really tough because Jahad Campbell was a really popular Bucks mock pick. And obviously he gave up the touchdown to Bucky. It was an ugly look, but otherwise he's actually been pretty good. Like obviously the fault against Bucky was brutal, but yeah, the Bucks should really choose a Jahad Campbell right now. But on the flip side of that, they really needed Emeka Egbuka. They've really needed him. So you can't really nitpick that pick too much. You know what I mean? So it's one of those catch-22s, kind of, you know, just not really a good answer either way. So, it's been brutal to watch Servasi Dennis, you know, unfortunately go to work. And I know one guy who has been a Dennis supporter, and, you know, I wonder if his confidence has been shaken. Mr. Zach Blaine is going to join us. Zach Blaine, he's waiting in the wings. I think he was eating some Taco Bell, and now he's back. How was your dinner, my friend? Did you have the bell hit?
It was fantastic. Late baseball practice, early dinner, whatever you want to call it. It came a little bit quicker than expected, so, you know, we're here now, though. I've been listening the whole time. Couldn't agree with you guys more. Dennis is a bust. I mean, I don't know if you call him a bust at this point, but he's not been so hot this season. And I don't know, man. It was I had high hopes. That Jahad Campbell pick's looking a whole lot better for Philly now. So
that's true. Yeah, Jahad is looking fantastic. It's brutal.
Yeah, he's looked really, really good, and it's just an embarrassment of riches on the defense over there in Philly. I hate it so much.
Yeah, it's tough. And we were just talking about Egbuka and Baker being one of the best combinations in football.
Yeah.
Because it's tough because, like, Jahad Campbell could be a potential Defensive Rookie of the Year candidate. But on the flip side, Emeka Egbuka could be an Offensive Rookie of the Year candidate. Kind of one of those, it'd be great if they had both, you know? I think
the biggest issue is that 31 teams passed on Jahad.
Yeah, I know. Like
I think they got him at pick 32. They may have jumped up a little bit to get him. I don't remember, but
it was at the end of the first round.
It was definitely last five picks of the first round, and he's a stud.
It's weird. It's weird.
I think that he's my Defensive Rookie of the Year so far. I'll say, but
yeah, he's been outstanding. It's him and Mason Graham from the Browns has been really good.
Surprisingly, he looked so bad in training camp. Everyone was talking so bad about him.
Yeah, it's tough. I will say it's one thing to go into training camp and perform as a rookie, and then it's another thing when you have Myles Garrett lined up next to you and you're just like getting like one-on-one cover, like one-on-one every freaking snap. Like it's really hard to kind of replicate the Myles Garrett effect. And he's been outstanding. It's been a very, very competitive rookie class, a very good rookie class. And it's, you know, it's a tough thing because like Zach, like you said, Dennis has been bad and Jahad would be just such a massive upgrade. But man, Egbuka has been fantastic too. And also some more negatives from the team. Unfortunately, Dean and Morrison went out with injuries. We'll have to monitor that as well as the week goes along. So that was tough. But some good news, the Saints and Panthers both look bad. Like the Panthers got embarrassed by New England. It was a nasty look. I know New England's been surprisingly really good, especially off. You got me there. But Drake May, maybe Drake May
looked good, but I don't know if I'd say 2-2 is surprisingly good
for the Patriots. Like
you've not played great competition either.
For sure, for sure. But you know, top five pick last year, they were one of the worst teams in football. 2-2 is a step forward for them.
Drake May has definitely taken a step forward. I 100%
agree with you. It's been fun to watch. It's been fun to watch him play for sure. We'll see if they're able to sustain it because, like you said, not great matchups there. But they also get to play the Dolphins and the Jets a lot this season. So, you know, maybe they don't necessarily have to be that great to have a decent season. But regardless, the Saints and the Panthers look awful. That we can absolutely 100% agree upon. So given that, and the Falcons won, but they're still 2-2, and the Bucs already won one matchup against them. So I know the Bucs lost this past weekend, but Zach, are you shaken? Is your confidence shaken in the Bucs to have a good season at all? Or is it kind of like
not necessarily to have a good season? I'm more so worried about just getting people back at this point.
The health.
I never expected to have an undefeated season. Like, that's so unrealistic in the NFL in general. I think that if we can win two of the next four games, counting yesterday, so now two of the next three games, I'll feel much more confident. This is the hardest stretch, in my opinion. The next 4 to 5 weeks are the hardest stretch of our season. So if we can split the games this stretch, I feel very, very confident about our chances. And, I mean, realistically, I feel confident in our chances in general in the NFC South because – you touched on the Saints and Panthers getting their butts beat. Well, the Falcons just got their butt beat by those same Panthers, if I'm not mistaken, 30-0.
Right.
So I'm not stressing anyone in the South. I feel like we're going to make another playoff run. For me, the biggest worry is just getting people back and healthy.
Yeah, absolutely. And to kind of put some stuff in perspective, like if the Bucs were to go 7-6 the rest of the year, they could finish with a 10-7 record. That wins the division. I know that's like setting the bar kind of low, but at the same time, you just got to get in, right? Like it's one of those things. So, some super encouraging stuff because by the end of the season, hopefully, fingers crossed, knock on wood, some of these guys will be healthy, right? Obviously, some guys are done for the year, but theoretically, they could still have a very good season. Musab, do you agree, or maybe you're a little bit more glass half empty? How are you feeling about the Bucs' prospects for the rest of the season after this loss?
I'm feeling good. I feel like, the NFC South is ours, but I'm with Zach, of course. And, you know, I'm just wondering, you know, hopefully all of our guys who can come back or should come back, you know, are going to be healthy and ready. So, because it's like, okay, congrats, you know, you won the NFC South, you know, now what?
Right.
What's next? You know, you're ready for the playoffs.
Yeah, so, taking that next step.
So, I mean, I feel like, as you said already, I think the NFC South should be a lock. I think it's the kind of, you know, the minimum goal we have for the rest of the season. But, it's going to be a fun next couple of weeks, of course. I think, I'm with Zach as well. We got some interesting matchups, some tough ones as well. Nice to have the Saints and the Pats, you know, after the bye week. A nice little cool down and a nice little warm up.
Then
it gets fun again with the Bills and the Rams and all that.
Yeah. So. Because, I know the Rams lost to the Eagles in kind of that meltdown fashion, but even so, like Puka Nacua, oh my goodness, he might be one of the best wide receivers in football. He's ridiculous. And then that defense is pretty good too. Like they've got that ridiculous front seven with Fisk and Verse, and it's just a really, really talented roster. So it's going to be a tough stretch for sure. But I think, like y'all are saying, I think that the ball's in their court. They're very much more than capable of winning this division for sure. And if you're looking to win your wardrobes division, that's a horrible segue. Head to shop.rblrsports.com. We'll give you a promo code that's Cannons, C-A-N-N-O-N-S, for 10% off your entire order. We'd really appreciate it. And you can get some great Tampa Bay gear because, hey, not just the Bucks are doing well. The Bulls, like Musab was saying, are playing well. You got the Rowdies, the Rays, the Lightning, and the Sun. You know, you've got a lot of really amazing Tampa Bay sports to celebrate. So definitely head to the shop and check it out. We'd really appreciate it. So now moving on to the Seahawks. That is the Bucks' next opponent. They're traveling up to Seattle. My goodness, that's the complete opposite end of the country. So I wanted to talk about Seattle, their defense. My goodness, they've been cooking. Like I have Seattle's defense in a lot of my fantasy leagues, because I'm a big believer in McDonald, their head coach. He did a great job in Baltimore with that defense, and he's just continued that success in Seattle. They have some remarkable players there too. Their defense is going to be tough. Offensively, obviously, Jackson Smith-Njigba, he's really, really good. But, you know, they've got Sam Darnold as their quarterback, and he's looked pretty good. I wanted to hear y'all's thoughts on Sam Darnold. Zach, what are your thoughts on Darnold so far this season?
I mean, I think Sam Darnold's been good for 2 years now.
Yeah,
absolutely. I think it's a testament to how bad some other teams are, if I'm being honest with you.
100%.
No, I really think that he's one of the stories I like watching in the NFL, kind of like Baker in a sense. Like, sure. Everyone was ready to give up on him. He was seeing ghosts. Like,
right.
Yeah. He was done for. Everyone thought he was over with, and he gets the shot in Minnesota and balls out. And he's continuing to do that in Seattle, which is awesome because Seattle gave up Geno Smith for him, essentially. Yeah. I mean, you got to realize that Geno Smith's not a bad quarterback either. So
right.
I think that it's – you can tell that he's playing with almost like a swagger and confidence now, and it's good to see because, I mean, as much as I want to demolish them this weekend, you know, you kind of respect that underdog story a little bit, and he's running away with it. I like it.
Yeah, both him and Baker were sort of thrown to the street, so to speak, and they've both gotten – big contracts, you know, like they've both gotten decent sized contracts from teams and well-deserved decent sized contracts, like not like the weird Nick Foles, Teddy Bridgewater, or Brock Osweiler contracts where they got paid off, or Matt Flynn, where they got paid off of three games or a playoff game or something stupid. Like, Darnold and Baker have obviously been superlative quarterbacks over the past few years. So that's really been fun to watch. And yeah, he's been really good this year too. And that's despite having not a super strong offensive line. Obviously, Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet are both very good running backs. JSN and Cooper Kupp are both pretty good receivers. So he has some stuff to work with. But, you know, it's not – I think Minnesota is like just a dream last year. Like they had the two elite offensive linemen at the tackle positions. You know, Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison were great. TJ Hawkinson. But Seattle's not necessarily that, but they're still pretty good. But regardless, I'm in agreement. Darnold's been great. Musab, how about you? What are your thoughts on Darnold so far this year?
I think it's been great. Yeah, I'm just real happy to see him, of course, kind of like with Zach. He's got a, you know, interesting story, kind of just like Baker. So definitely has the capability of, you know, just kind of going off. I mean, he's not, you know, one of the most popular guys or something. Everyone's like, oh, my God, you know, he's the hottest quarterback right now in the NFL, you know, but he still gets the job done. I mean, as long as, yeah, he's, you know, he's around the right weapons, he's got the experience, and it's just about, you know, fitting in the right system. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, he always had that potential, just needed to be kind of put in the right system. So, and yeah, what he did last game, I liked it. Yeah, against the Cardinals.
Yeah, I mean, it was really impressive to watch him go to work against the Cardinals. Obviously, got a little closer than I'm sure they'd like in, towards the end of the game. But Arizona's still a pretty good team, too. I don't want to totally poo-poo them. They're 2-2, so it's, you know, it's the NFL. They're all going to be pretty tough matchups. You're very rarely going to get a Panthers-Patriots game where one team just runs away with it. But the Seahawks in general have been off to a pretty solid start, and Sam Darnold has a big part to play in that. And you know, they're top 10 in estimated points added per pass. They're bottom 10 in estimated points added per rush. So we'll see how Seattle's offense plays out. But shifting our focus more to the Bucs specifically, Bucky Irving, unfortunately, dealing with a foot thing. He's had a boot on. He's considered week to week, but I don't know. It seems like if you're reading the tea leaves, he might be out this week. How would y'all feel? Musab, I'll start with you, man. What are your thoughts on having just a Rashad White, Sean Tucker backfield against these Seattle Seahawks?
Changes things a little bit, of course. But you know, I'm still optimistic. We'll be able to get things, you know, done. You know, I really like what we've seen from Rashad White so far. Now I'm, if anything, just kind of excited to see what Sean Tucker can do, you know, just cause, you know, we've seen him when he's, when he's been on the field. I mean, he's had, you know, plenty of, you know, flashes of action. So, I'm kind of right now, a little bit neutral right now. Kind of just I want to wait and see, you know, how it goes. Cause I also would just want to see, you know, how do we change our game plan because of Bucky, you know, I think the biggest thing to look at is, you know, is this going to be kind of a weakness that Seattle is going to, you know, kind of target, or are we still going to be able to kind of cook things up? And still get the run game going.
Right. And I think the good news is that Godwin should be a little bit more comfortable, maybe, like it's just another week further away from his injury. So theoretically, maybe he sees a little bit more action too, because, you know, him and Baker were just like, him and Baker were literally the best combination in football last year. Like, he was elite. So if him and Igbuka can be cooking, like, that would be great too, and kind of ease the pressure off of the run game a little bit, maybe free up the box a little bit too. And yeah, Musab, like you said, Rashad White's been pretty good in the run game this year. Like, he had that 60 plus yard game. So, you know, there's signs there, and maybe Tucker is more of just the guy that replaces Bucky, and Rashad still is kind of the third down guy, which is perfect. Like, that's, I think, would be the right way to play it. But Zach, how about you, man? Are you feeling a little bit shaky because Bucky might be out, or are you still pretty solid with Tucker and Rashad White?
I would rather have Bucky in.
Of course. Of course.
White has not looked bad this year. I still think he has issues seeing holes in the line. There was one specific play where had he cut the ball outside a little bit, he would have probably had a 15, 20 yard gain. Obviously, can't tell the future, but he had a pretty decent size hole. And instead, he just put his head down and ran right through the back of Tristan Wirfs, which, I mean, not a bad option if it's a run play up the middle. But if you've got an open field, I prefer you take that. So I do think that he still struggles with seeing the field. And if we're just giving him the ball to run up the gut, you know, I like Rashad White. If we're looking for him to do extra stuff and fill in for Bucky, I don't think he can fill in for Bucky.
I think
it'd be a Sean Tucker filling in for Bucky. And even that, I don't know. But I think that Rashad White needs to keep his same workload and same – what am I trying to say? Needs to keep the same role. Somebody else needs to fill in for Bucky, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you, because it's sort of like when Wirfs went down and they moved Barton to left tackle, right? Like, it's sort of similar to that in that, you know, you kind of have to play a guy maybe a little bit out of position, or not to say Sean Tucker is out of position or anything, but yeah, just to kind of maintain that status quo in some aspects. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not super down on it. Obviously, like.
Bucky, what about Josh Williams? Is he also, he's also on our 53, man? You think he's
Josh Williams, the LSU guy?
Yeah, he's on the roster, but I think he's not been active.
Yeah, and I think they view him more as a special teams guy. But with Bucky out, maybe he gets a little bit. You know, maybe he gets a
cameo. If anything, maybe. Yeah, I
wouldn't be shocked to see him activated.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, having two running backs can be a bit of a treacherous type of thing. You can be kind of playing with fire, because if one of them goes down, then it's like, oh, crap, you know, you have to play that one dude the whole time. So, yeah, having a third back, probably not the worst idea for sure. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see Josh Williams get that promotion, get be able to suit him up. That would be cool. So now we'll do some key matchups, some guys – maybe some groups, some position groups versus a certain position group, or maybe an individual. I think the big one for me is definitely the Bucs interior offensive line versus Leonard Williams. That guy is one of the best interior defensive linemen in football. Like, he's elite, really, really good. Like, one of the most underrated guys in football, for in my opinion, like, really, really solid. So he's going to be dangerous. Like, he's going to be tough to deal with. He's a big part of why the Seahawks have such a good run defense so far this season and last season. So yeah, that's going to be something to watch out for, as well as in the pass protection. Like, he can get involved there too, but, yeah, that's my big key matchup. Zach, who you got for your key matchups to look for in this game?
I think the biggest one has to be our pass rush against their O-line. We need to get pressures, and last week Vita Vea, I think, had our only two sacks, if I'm not mistaken. We can't rely on Vita Vea to be our sack leader in a game. It's just not, that's not realistically going to be a successful plan. So I think that's my biggest thing to, maybe not the biggest matchup, but the biggest thing to watch for me.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Especially because their offensive line is probably their weakest part of their team. It's not great. You know, they've been able to get away with a good bit over the start of the season. Clint Kubiak does. I mean, he did this last year with the Saints to start the year. Like, he did a great job of kind of monitoring and maneuvering Derek Carr so that he didn't necessarily have to deal with the fact that the Saints had an atrocious offensive line for the first few weeks. It obviously didn't sustain itself, but yeah, I'm with you. Definitely getting pressure on Sam Darnold because, you know, he's not the most mobile fella. He's not Baker, right? You know, he's not making those insane runs. So yeah, definitely getting some pressure on Darnold will be great. But Musab, how about you? What's a key matchup or even a storyline or something that you're looking for?
Oh man, it's just gonna. I mean, the first thing I'm thinking of just battle of the defenses. You know, both pass rushers. But I'm thinking, you know, the big thing is, you know, Sam Darnold versus, you know, Todd Bowles blitz packages. You know, just because I mean, we gotta throw him off ASAP. And then on top of that, you know, Seattle's pass rush versus our offensive line, because Seattle had a pretty darn good game against the Cardinals. They, you know, racked up 6 sacks on Kyler Murray. So, I mean, yeah, if our O-line can't give Baker, like, I don't know, 2.5 seconds or something, this game could get ugly fast. You know, on top of that, no Mike Evans. So it's like, you know, quick, you know, bailout deep ball. But, you know, we've seen, you know, Egbuka and Pucky come in clutch with that. But, I mean, that's I doubt that's going to happen again. They got some good DBs. We got to look at Reek Woolen and Devin Witherspoon as well. So,
yeah,
I'll probably just say it's just, yeah, their DBs and pass rush versus, you know, our guys. And I'm looking more just to how they perform on defense, because I'm pretty sure, yeah, they are, I think, like top of the league right now in points allowed.
Yeah, they're elite. So, they've been really good. It's them in Denver, in my mind.
Yeah, so, and our offensive line is going through a lot of changes. It was very evident, you know, against a good, you know, Eagles defense. So, fingers crossed we don't see that again, because I really hate to say this in front of you, especially Zach, but, man, I don't know. I'm getting a little – man, Baker Mayfield makes me a little queasy sometimes when he's pressured. You know what I'm saying?
You know, he definitely likes to play it a little bit fast and loose sometimes. I do feel you.
Yeah, it has its pros and cons.
What would you rather have? Would you want him just to take a sack? You want him to play four in college? Like, get out of here! That's insane. No shot, brother. I love what Bucky or what Baker does. I think he is the modern day Brett Favre. Like, he's got that gunslinger mentality. He's gonna throw it up. We would have had a touchdown last week. Godwin would have had his first touchdown back if it wasn't a tip pass. So I'll take Baker playing a little ballsy as opposed to
– I have to disagree with you there, Zach. I don't think – I don't know what would have happened, but that tip pass was
wide open on a comeback route, brother. That's all I'm saying.
No, man. It was a weak throw. I really hate to say it, man. I don't think there was much
kind of – Yeah, it was weak if it gets tipped.
No, but it wasn't – It wasn't tip. I don't know, man. That just came right in Jahad Campbell's hands. I just felt like, I mean, there's just something better you got to do, man. You know, you're already on crunch time, man. You got to be playing a little bit smaller.
Look, I agree. It wasn't the smartest throw in the world. I'm not saying it was a great throw and a great decision, but I'd rather, in that situation, yes, I would have either run for a few yards or just thrown the ball away. I'm not saying you're wrong there.
Unfortunately, I think he also bumped into one of his guys too, which
that's tough. Him off
a little bit. It was just kind of an ugly.
In my mind, there was a lot that went wrong with that play, and it wasn't just a throw right to Jahad Campbell. Like, there was other forces of nature in work there.
Absolutely, other mitigating factors. It's not totally on him for sure, but it was also 1st and 10. You know, in the red zone. So I see both avenues.
And that's why I say I agree with the decision making not being a good decision.
Yeah, for sure. Fourth and 10, go for it. Like, you got to balls to the wall.
Oh, yeah.
1st and 10, it might be, you know, like you said, maybe a little more
prudent. Personally, would have thrown the ball away and been happy with that.
For sure.
But watching the replay, I also saw what Baker saw.
Yeah.
Was wide open in the corner on the comeback. Like, I get what he saw. And I think it was Reed Blankenship got the his fingers on it. If it wasn't for that, I think we're looking at a different situation. It may not have been a touchdown, but I don't think we're looking at the easiest pick Jahad Campbell's ever going to have in his life.
Right. Like, yeah.
That's the deal.
Yeah, and it's hard because like you love when he's risky and it works out, but sometimes it doesn't. You know, that's just the stuff that you're.
Yeah, gonna if he wasn't with. Risky, we wouldn't have had the 77-yard Egbuka touchdown.
Right. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
It giveth and it taketh.
Touchdowns to one.
Well, I mean, we all saw, but he was also a little risky. I mean, he threw. I mean, DeJean got the interception. That got called back too. But I'm not trying to just target Baker, man. Believe me, man. I hope you get what I'm saying.
No. Well, you got to think. I'm not comparing him to Brady. Do not take it. But that's the same thing Brady would do. If he knows there's going to be a penalty on the play, he's just throwing it up. Brady was notorious for that on pass interference calls. And when he knows that there's a penalty that's going on, I'm going to throw it up and hope for the best. Because if I throw it up and it's a touchdown, then we're just going to decline the penalty. Or if it's a 60-yard completion, I'm just going to decline the penalty. If it's intercepted, I'm going to count on my stats, so what do I care kind of a deal.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we'll see, because it's one of those things, because I will give Baker a lot of credit. He's gotten way better about it, right? Like, I think you see him throw it away a lot, and where previous situations or previous years, or maybe when he was in Cleveland, he would have forced it in there and he would have, you know, thrown a risky throw that would have gotten picked off. But for the most part, he's really taken precautions and done a great job of limiting that or decreasing that sort of tendency. Like, it's like the devil on your shoulder type of thing. He's definitely gotten the devil quieter, so to speak. So it's been a great development to watch. But hey, sometimes you gotta try to fit in a window and get Emeka Ebuka a touchdown, and you know, that's what he did, and it worked out. But we'll see if he can keep the good vibes going against Seattle, because regardless of that interception, it's been really fun to watch him play, and it seems like the whole team really gets galvanized when he does his thing. So he's been exciting to watch for better and for worse. So it's mostly for better though so far this year. Got to give him his props for sure. But we're nearing the end of our episode, but we got two final segments that we want to get to. And we'll start with over under. So it's my turn this week. I got it. So the first one is, speaking of Baker, 230 passing yards over under for Baker Mayfield. Zach, I'll throw this question at you first, as the captain of the Baker Mayfield fan club. I'm assuming you're going over, but I don't
want to.
Really? Oh, okay.
No, we're missing our number one receiver. Mm-hmm. Godwin's getting back into it. Our O-line is still in flux.
Sure.
I don't think he's going to have a bad game, but I don't have 230. I'm closer to two, if I'm being honest with you.
Okay. I will say, I think I'm going to go over because Bucky's not there. You know, so I think Bucky not playing is big. What's that?
Bucky's been a big part of the receiving game this year too.
Absolutely, 100%. But I do think that the Bucks probably take, you know, Bucky combined with the fact that Seattle's run defense is just, you know, it's going to be tough to run against them. Yeah, it's going to be really tough to run against them, even if Bucky was healthy. So I think both of those things combine, and then Baker kind of gets the green light to let her rip a little bit. So I think he goes over, and more appropriately, if he goes over, I do think the Bucks win this game pretty, not decisively, but I think they have a very good chance of winning this game. So I'm going to go with over, and that might clue y'all into my prediction as well. But Musab, what do you got? You got over or under on Baker Mayfield passing yards?
Ooh, this one's tough, but you know, I'm gonna show a little bit of optimism and show my love for Baker. I'm gonna go the over on this. I think he is capable of doing it. And one thing that I am actually, you know, wanting to see though is just because, seeing how Trey McBride, you know, had a pretty darn good game against the Seahawks, you know, how we involve our tight end. So,
What tight ends?
Yeah.
What tight ends? What do you mean, what tight ends?
I don't know. Kenyon looked good for stretches last year.
Yeah, through last year, he's been non-existent this year. He was the fifth lowest PFF grade last week.
For sure.
Kenyon scored higher.
Yeah, it was bad. It was bad, no doubt.
Gone this season.
Yeah, I will say when he stepped up last year, it was because it was when Mike and Evans and Godwin were hurt, and Evans is hurt, and so is J-Mac. So it's sort of him, Godwin, and Ebuka. Goodness gracious, how could I forget his name? But
I've seen more Tez Johnson plays than plays this year, and I've seen two Tez Johnson plays.
That is true. That is true. Kate Otten has been a bit of a missing person so far, and yeah, who knows though? Because like Musab said, McBride had a great game, and that might be a weakness that the Bucks decide to try to exploit. Because
I mean, we even saw that with, you know, the legend Kyle Pitts. He was
ghost
for a while, and then he came out of nowhere. I mean, you know, you got to do something.
He gets like two good games a year.
That's true.
All right, well, maybe this is our tight ends. You know,
I hope it is.
Good games this year.
It's hard to compare Trey McBride with.
Oh, I know what you're saying. Yeah, but
McBride is, in my opinion, a top 3 to 4type of the league.
Yeah.
K. Dotton is not.
No, yeah. He's a below average player.
It's just not him. Like, it's just not. And I don't think it was ever supposed to be him. I think we always – the game plan was never for him to be the feature tight end in Tampa. And
for sure.
Kind of what we're stuck with now. And it's kind of hurting our receiving game a little bit, I think.
Yeah, it happens. Well,
I mean, this is where the offensive coordinator comes in. I mean, they're, you know, you just have to find ways to get him involved then. I mean, there's the answer then. I mean, you know, I'm sure the Buccaneers know that, you know, Kate Otten's been non-existent. So,
yeah, we'll see if they try something to change
then with their tight ends. What's the point of that position then, other than,
I agree. Block?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, yeah, you know, there was actually a couple of plays. I hate to say it. I mean, there was actually one nice run by Tez Johnson, but Kate Otten missed this block, so could have been a better play.
I think that we got all excited about K. Dotton after last year because he had a big year, and I will be the first person to say I thought that he was like up and coming. I thought it was a breakout year, and like we were going to see a different K. Dotton, and I think we're going back to the same K. Dotton that was sitting behind people before Gronk retired. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's hard with Cade because he was excuse me, he was a day 3 pick, right? Like, he wasn't really highly touted. The Bucs haven't really invested in the position very much, but that's because they've invested pretty heavily in the wide receiver position. So they're choosing to get their pass catching, you know, their receiver production from elsewhere. And so far, knock on wood, it's worked out, you know, like
agreed.
Missing the tight end position hasn't been ideal, but you know, it's the NFL. You kind of got to pick and choose your battles sometimes. And they've been able to sort of weather that being a not a position of strength, to put it kindly. But yeah, in an ideal world, obviously K. Dotton is not your starting tight end, you know, like he's not great, but, yeah, we'll see if K. Dotton can turn it around and help me and Musab get our over predictions on Baker Mayfield's passing yards predictions right. So now we'll move on to total points. And I've got 44.5 total points. That's just the money line. I'm going to go under. The Seahawks defense is something legit. And, you know, I think Baker has a high passing yard total. Like, I think he goes over 230. I think he squeaks over. And I think that the Bucs managed to, you know, score enough points, but I think that they also do a good job of limiting Seattle. So I'm going to go under on the point total. Musab, how about you, man? What you got for the point total for 44.5?
Ooh. I'm actually going to go over on this, man, just because my score like prediction, just because, I mean, I feel like it's just, you know, I think both teams have, both teams have potential to score and, you know, score points regardless of our injuries. Seahawks definitely do. So, I think it's going to be somewhat of a shootout. I mean, this game could go many ways, but I do think that, you know, I think the over, 44.5, I think that should hit, but I'm not those kind of hammer lock of the year kind of people either.
Right.
You know,
well, of course,
it's more of just a lean.
I'm the same way. Yeah. I for my under prediction, I'm the same way. I very much think it could go either way. Absolutely. But that's the whole point of the total points money line. Zach, how about you, man? What you got for this total points spread?
I got the over.
Okay.
I'm right over. I do think that Seattle's defense is really good. Depending on how healthy Godwin looks this week, because he looked a little slow last week, which is to be expected. Like, I'm not that dig on him. He's coming back from a massive injury. Like, I get it. Depending on how close to 100% he looks, depending on Ibuka, obviously it's looking like we're not going to have Bucky, but if he's out of the boot by Friday, he's probably going to play. I'm not expecting him, so we got to kind of lean on Rashad White and Sean Tucker there. But I do think that we still put up some points. I think that 22 points a game per team is not unheard of, especially when you're playing a defense like Tampa's.
Yeah, no, absolutely. This is very, very close call. So we could absolutely see that. We'll have to check back in on these over under predictions. But now for score predictions, because that's the fun part. I'll kick us off. I think the Bucks win 21-17. I think that they're able to limit Sam Darnold a good bit, and I think Baker's able to do just enough to get the Bucs over the finish line. I think it'll be really close. It might come down to the fourth quarter. It might be a white-knuckle type of game because it's a road game against a pretty darn good team, and that's just how it's going to be. But I still have the Bucs winning 21-17. Zach, who you got winning and by how much?
I got Seattle winning 34-28.
Wow, high scoring.
Oh, okay.
I do think it's going to be high scoring, and that's why I went over the 44.5. I don't think that Bucky being out and Mike being out, Dean probably being out, Morrison potentially being out. If we had Morrison, I'd feel more confident in it being a lower score and us winning, but I don't see Tampa holding Seattle to 17 points.
Well, okay, fair enough.
Seattle's not a great offense, but they've got two good running backs, at least one good wide receiver. Like, it's – there's a – well, they got Cooper Kupp too now, so that's a good point. Or no, Cooper Kupp went to the Rams. No, he was from the Rams, went to Seattle. He's in Seattle.
He's on the Seahawks, yeah.
Confused the hell out of myself for a second. No, as much as Cooper Kupp is, like, kind of old, he's still Cooper Kupp. Like, he's still a solid receiver. And you put McCollum on JNS, whatever
the – JSN.
JSN, there we go. Who are you putting on Cup? Who are you putting on wide receiver three? I think that we're in for – our defense could be in for a rough ride.
Yeah. I mean, the Seattle offense is – like, it's not as good as their defense, no doubt, but it's still nothing to sleep on for sure.
Yeah, it's not too shabby kind of a deal.
No, absolutely. Not too shabby at all. That's the perfect way to describe it. Musab Tariq, who you got and by how much?
Oof, I hate to say this. This was tough, man. But I'm actually good. I'm going 27-24 Seahawks.
Wow, I'm the only one that picked the Bucks. That's crazy.
Okay. Yeah, just I mean, man, we are facing a lot of adversity. I mean, the adversity just keeps the injuries keep piling up, man. And it's just like, you know what? I mean, we got to be honest. Seattle's defense, they're legit. Their offense too. They got balance as well with Kenneth Walker and JSN. And yeah, I mean Cooper Kupp, totally slipped my mind as well. So. I mean, just a couple of explosive plays, and I mean, this could be ugly. And on top of that, I mean, it's just offense and defense where, we're missing a lot of key players. We'll still try to, put up a fight. I think we definitely have potential to put up a good fight. Hell, maybe we could sneak in a win, but, I don't know, on the road in Seattle, it's tough. And if we keep making special teams errors, for the love of God, man, hopefully we fixed that this game, but just all these kind of little things all conglomerated. Just doesn't tell me the Buccaneers are going to win this weekend.
Yeah. And I don't blame you. I do think it's going to be a very close game. It's as close to a toss up as I think it'll get this season. But I don't know, if they clean up the special teams, the defense has looked decent so far this year. I know they gave up a lot of points in the first half to the Eagles, but then they shut it down in the second half. So, I'm hopeful. I don't say confident, but I'm hopeful that they can be a little bit closer to being the second half version of that defense rather than the first half. But yeah, Zach, like you said, Dean being potentially out, Morrison being potentially out, it's tough. It's brutal. So we'll have to monitor the injury report. That's going to be a weekly thing for the Bucs, unfortunately, it seems like. So that is what it is at this point. That's just life in the NFL, I guess, but we'll see. Regardless of whether the Bucs win or whether they lose or whether they tie, like the Cowboys and the Packers, we will be back next week. hopefully it's not a tie. That would be frustrating. But regardless, we will be back next week. We really appreciate y'all for tuning in. Give us a like or a subscribe if you liked what you heard. Give us a follow at RBLR Bucks or at RBLR Sports across socials. Thank you to my wonderful co-hosts, Mr. Musab Tariq and Mr. Zach Blaine, for making my job incredibly easy. We will see y'all next week regardless. And as always, go Bucks.
Go Bucks. Go Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.